Bon matin. Kimania. Correct. Correct. Correct enough. Let us read from Srimad Bhagavatam. Let us continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 9, Chapter 4. Ambarish Maharaj offended by Devasa Muni. And today, devotees, is a sad day. It is our last day, for me at least, it's sad. It's my last day with you all in flag. Hare Krishna. What can we do? Such is life. So what we'll do, seeing it's our last day, and, you know, we're doing the sequence of verses, the series of verses from 9th Canto, Chapter 4. And there's more verses, you know, there's a number of verses further to do. We will read a few verses. How's that? Et tout le monde comprend anglais. Tout le monde? Comprend? Oui? Pas de problème? Anglais? Anglais? No problem. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay, so we're going to start there. It's 9th Canto, Chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 66. But we're going to read on for a number of verses just so we get the flow of it. Because it's very nice and it's very important. Mayi nirvata hridaya sadava sama darshana vashe kurvanti mam bhaktya satstriya satpatim yata. Oh, okay. Okay, translation. Well done. He deserved the applause. Thank you. This is all cool. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by servants, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart, bring me under their full control. What do you think of that, ladies, gentlemen? Say brave. Anyway, that's what the Bhagavatam says. Maybe you thought, some people might think, as women bring their gentle husbands under control by nagging. It's okay. But this is very nice. Let me just read it again. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart bring me under their full control. This is the Supreme Lord speaking. This is not insignificant. This is very important. But let us read on. 67. Matsevaya pratitante salokyadi chatushtayam nechanti sevaya purna kutonyat kala viplutam. My devotees, who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service, are not interested even in the four principles of liberation, Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, and Sarishti. Although these are automatically achieved by their servants. What then is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation to the higher planetary systems? Okay, and let's read now verse 68. This is sort of, well, this is the last verse in which the Lord is explaining his relationship with the devotees. He will go on, I think it's the last one, let me just check. Yes. He will now go on, and we'll read a few of those verses to explain to Devasamuni and us the dangers and some of the subtle ways, the dangers of offending devotees, and some of the subtle ways offending devotees affects us, if we're the offenders. Okay, so verse 68. Sadhavo ridayam mahyam, sadunam ridayam twaham, madanya te najananti, naham tebyo manag api. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. This is very deep. This is just extremely profound. But let us carry on. Now he's going to, he's glorified the devotees. Now he's going to sort of, you could say, chastise Devasamuni. What do you think you're doing? Or, yeah, like that, correct him. So this is 69. Upayam katayishyami tava vipra shunushvatat ayam hyat ma bicharaste yatastam yahi ma chiram sadushu prahitam teja prahortu kurute shivam. O Brahman, let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy. So that's that. You have acted with self. With self-envy means envy of yourself. Yeah. You know, just like someone has a hammer in, what do you say in Creole? Someone has a molotov. And they pick it up, and they put their hand out, and they go bang on their own hand. What can you say? They acted with self-envy. You follow? It's one thing if another person attacks you. It's another thing if you hurt yourself. Yeah. Okay. By offending Lakaraj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately, without a moment's delay. One so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms him who employs it. Thus, it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed. Is that clear? Or subject, object, right? Grammar. I know you. I am the subject. Know is the verb, the action. You are the object. Okay. I know you. Yeah. So, I hit you. Or I, in this case, what? Well, attack, curse you. I am the subject, you are the object. But I, the subject, I am the one who is hurt. Isn't that interesting? Holy God. Let's read another verse, verse 70. Tapo vidya cha vipranam nishrayasa nishrayasa kare ube te eva durvinitas ya kalpete kartur anyata. For a Brahmin, austerity and learning are certainly auspicious, but when acquired by a person who is not gentle, such austerity and learning are most dangerous. Come on. Well, yeah. Look at Mr. Trump, anyway. We will not get into politics. But there's a saying in English, you know the saying? Give a man enough rope to hang himself. You understand that one? Someone is saying, give me rope! I want rope! Everyone else has got rope! Give me rope! So, okay, okay. You give him some rope and he hangs himself. You see, these things are happening in this world. Let us see if there's another verse. Okay, well, the concluding verse is 71. Brahmams tadgacha bhadram te nabhaga tanayam nripam shamapaya mahabhagam tata shantir bhavishyati. O best of the Brahmins, you should therefore go immediately to King Ambarish, the son of Maharaj Nabhaga. I wish you all good fortune. If you can satisfy Maharaj Ambarish, then there will be peace for you. Okay, so that's the end of that chapter, actually. Is it? Yeah, that's the end of the chapter. And that's the end, basically, of that pastime. And just in these verses, 5 or 6 verses or so, we read, there is so much information, so many important things. Just like, you know, Mauritius is more traditional in terms of husband, in terms of family culture. More, not extremely, but more than, you know, at least the Western world. Oh, it's just pathetic elsewhere. But at least Mauritius is more traditional. And when a lady becomes a wife, then in many cases, she has been told by her parents, and it's sort of just in the culture, that you have to be nice to your husband. And, you know, not that you have to become a slave at all, but you should look after your husband. And, you know, like that. And not try to be the big boss and boss around your husband. Right. I think it's there in Mauritian culture, it seems to me. And it's good. It's good, actually. I mean, as long as the husband is good, or not bad, or not too bad, it's good. Sometimes husbands are not good. Sometimes they're bad. And that's a problem. But here we're not talking about that. They're talking about nice people, devotees. Yeah. So, the Lord, it's the Supreme Lord speaking, as chaste women. That's first point. Women, everyone, should be chaste and not, you know, have a roving eye, as they say. Prabhupada said that an unchaste woman, while embracing one man, over his shoulder she's looking at another man, and in her mind she's thinking about a third man. Yes. Because, you know, in this world, it's difficult to find, actually it's not possible on the material level, to find satisfaction. That's why, for example, in these countries, the governments are changing just all the time. The governments are changing. It's chronic. At election time, they make promises that we will do this and we will look after you and we are the best. But then they fail. And therefore, devotees, écoutez-moi, therefore, every single other, except for the governments which are in control today, every other government in the past has been kicked out. They've all been rejected. Rejected. All of them. Every single one. And you know what's going to happen, devotees? Every single government which is in power today is going to be kicked out in due course. That's just it. Even the most ruthless, heavy, vicious dictatorship, sooner or later there'll be a change. Because in this world, on the material level, to find that satisfaction, that permanent, fixed, nice situation. You can't do it. You can't do it. And the same devotees, pardon me for saying it, the same thing applies in a married relationship. You in your mind, when you're young, a romantic young, not a tifi, right? What would you say? Mademoiselle. I don't know what's after tifi, when you've graduated from tifi, what do you become? A mademoiselle. So many, we know, everyone knows, so many nice young mamsels, in their minds they're thinking, I will get a husband. Oh, what a husband I will get. Oh, a noble hero who will look after me, protect me under all circumstances, who will provide for me lots of money and these just wonderful children. And, you know, etc. And the young, what do you say? Jeune garçon, what do you say? What's the term? Anyway, whatever you say, you know who I mean. He is also thinking, in so many, if not all, but at least so many cases, he's thinking, I will get a wife from, not the next floor, but the kingdom of God. I will get an angel, and she will be so sweet, oh, and so gentle, and she will just do whatever I say. She'll be waiting for me to say, and she will be so beautiful and intelligent. You know what I mean? And then what happens in the end? You get some ordinary person. That's what happens. So, you know, intelligence means, if it's some ordinary, which it will be, some ordinary, but, you know, okay, not bad young person. No knight in shining armor. No combination of Miss Universe and, you know, a great conversationalist and so on. But just some, you know, just one of the girls and one of the young men. But they're okay. Then live with it. Live with it. Accept. And just carry on in life. And work together in Krishna consciousness. So, and so the Lord says, as chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service. This is the key. Yeah. And actually it's explained just a few chapters further on, in the 10th chapter. In fact, while we're at it, let me just read the verse. 10th chapter of the 9th canto is the pastimes of Lord Ram. And in, let's see, the last verse. Well, let me read the second to last and last verses. Lord Ramachandra took a vow to accept only one wife and had no connection with any other women. He was a saintly king, and everything in his character was good, untinged by qualities like anger. He taught good behavior for everyone, especially for householders. in terms of Varnashram Dharma. Thus he taught the general public by his personal activities. And then the next verse, verse 55, 9, 10, 55. Mother Sita was very submissive, faithful, shy, and chaste, always understanding the attitude of her husband. Thus by her character and her love and service, she completely attracted the mind of the Lord. And in other words, the Lord would do anything she wanted because he was just feeling so much because of her affection and service, not because she was always on his case. Why don't you get me another sari? You don't get me enough saris, do you? Why not? And I need more money. Come on. What sort of husband are you? That's called nagging. Excuse me, what? Par, what? Par toi? It's just par exemple, or something like that. Yeah. Nagging, or some call it hen pecking. Hen pecking, are you familiar with that term? Did you ever watch a chicken? They're very fast. Peck, 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 peck. Hen pecking. On his case. Again and again. And why not this? And why that? And come on, you could do better. Now why did I marry you? Yeah, okay. Anyway, excuse me, but it's important. So as chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of their heart, bring me under their full control. That is something. They bring the Supreme Lord under control. So Mother Yashoda, when she, you know, in her motherly mood, as an authority for the child, when she tells Krishna, bring your father's shoes, Krishna does not say, hey, listen, lady, I am God. Okay, you are the devotee, not me. You want the shoes brought, you bring them. No, Krishna immediately brings the shoes. And there are nice descriptions in the Bhagavata. Mother Yashoda, when Krishna was small, really quite small, like 2 years or something, he can walk, but he's a bit clumsy like that. So Mother Yashoda and her lady friends, they would gather every day and just have exchanges with Krishna. And Bhagavatam describes sometimes they would tell Krishna, Krishna, dance. Go on, Krishna, dance. And Krishna, he's very clumsy. He's very awkward. He doesn't really know how to manage his body yet. So he would sort of hop around and dance in some funny way, and they would laugh at him. They laughed at him in a mood of love, but it was funny. And Krishna didn't stop and say, hey, listen, don't laugh at me, all right? You don't laugh at God. You laugh at me, I'll get you back. Yeah. So, Krishna, the Lord, is controlled by the devotees. Not exactly by the devotees, but by the love of the devotees. And so Krishna will do anything for his putting. You know, the more advanced, the more love the devotee has, the more Krishna will do for them. Yeah. Then the next verse, 67, was saying that my devotees, they engage in my service, and the pleasure they get from serving me is so great. They are so satisfied. They're not interested in any type of liberation. You know, there are these in sort of technical, philosophical terms, different types of liberation, spiritual liberation, which a person can get. One type is you can merge with God, become one with God. That's possible. The devotee is really not interested in that. Really not interested. Then there's salokya. It's a type of liberation in which you get to live on the same planet as the Lord. Loka means planet. There's sarupya, means you get a rupa, a form, something like the Lord's. And then there's the liberation of being in the company of the Lord, and liberation of having the same opulence as the Lord. These are available. Not really the merging, but the other four I mentioned. Live on the same planet, have a similar form, have the same opulence, and live very close to the Lord. The devotee can have these. If the devotee, such a devotee, if the devotee says, listen, Krishna, I want to live on the same planet as you, there you go. Krishna will not say, why? Or, you know, I have some other idea for you. Krishna will just say, yes. But the devotees, the pure devotees, don't want that. Because they just want to serve Krishna. And if Krishna tells them, you know, say they're there in Goloka Vrindavan, and Krishna tells them, listen, I want you to go to planet Earth, to the island of Maurice, and serve me by spreading Krishna consciousness. Then the devotee, if the devotee understands, this is what Krishna wants, devotee immediately say, yes, yes, let me go. Because they're only interested in pleasing Krishna. And the devotee will not say that, you want me to go back to the material world? That place of birth and death? You want me to go back there and preach to those crazy people? You want me to do that? Look, you know, it was such a struggle. And finally I got here to Goloka Vrindavan. Now I'm here. You don't want me to leave. I'm not going to leave. I'm staying. You see, that such a devotee will never say such a thing. If Krishna wants, what to speak of going to Maurice? If Krishna wants the devotee to go to hell to serve him, such an elevated devotee, the devotee will immediately go and serve Krishna and be fully happy even in hell. So, as a result of all this, the Lord says, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. And I'm always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees don't know anything except me. And I don't know anyone except them. The relationship between the Lord and his devotees, particularly the more advanced devotees, but actually any devotee, even you, it's very deep. Deeper than you think. Deeper than you've been able to realize so far. Then he starts chastising Devasamuni. What you did wrong. Your mistakes. Your misunderstanding. And the first one was, what was the first one? That one's so-called prowess means if you have some power. In the case of Devasamuni, he has mystical power. We don't. Maybe we've got physical power, maybe. Maybe we've got financial power. Maybe we can speak and influence people. We have some sort of social power. But he says, your so-called power, whatever it is, when it's used against a devotee, it will hurt you, the possessor of the power, the person who's trying to use the power against the devotee. It will hurt you. And therefore the subject and not the object is harmed. You know, even people like Nelson Mandela and just the materialistic thinkers, they say things like this, that things like, oh, I've got a collection of things they've said. But like things like this, it's sort of material, but it's good sense. That I will not let you hurt me by my remaining angry with you. Does that make sense? I will not let you hurt me by allowing myself to remain angry with you. Because when you're angry, it's painful, isn't it? It's so horrible to be angry. So disturbing for the angry person. And what pleasure is there in being angry with someone else? There's no pleasure. You just hurt yourself. Yeah, so we must remember this, because we have these tendencies still, isn't it? To become angry with people, to be envious of people. And yeah, we still have these tendencies, even though we're devotees, and we know that we shouldn't do those things. But, well, we mentioned yesterday, I think, was it? Old habits die hard. They really do. And, you know, even after practicing Krishna consciousness for many years, sometimes something happens strange. And suddenly, from your own heart, comes some mood, some attitude, and you think, what am I doing? But, you know, old habits die hard. So, austerity and learning, this is now verse 70. Austerity and learning is certainly auspicious, but when acquired by a person who's not gentle, such austerity and learning are most dangerous. Like nowadays, education is emphasized so much. Any of you who are my age would remember that when we were at school, like high school, going to finish, it was not emphasized so much that you should go to university. You can go. But it wasn't like, you know, You just go to university after you finish high school, and it's just, you don't even think about it. But it was an option. Or you could just work, get into some career. But nowadays, any young person who doesn't go to university after high school, well, basically every young person's expected to go to university and get some higher qualification. But what do they do with that? They turn this material world upside down and make it a big nonsense. Oh, yeah. With that education, what do? They just use it to get a better job, to get more money, to get a bigger house, a bigger television, and just try to, quote unquote, enjoy life more. Yeah. Be more absorbed in materialism. That's actually it. So like we mentioned, give a person enough rope to hang themselves. Give a person enough education so they can make lots of money and degrade themselves. In many cases it happens like that. You know, I read a report on, some years ago, probably 5 years ago, on CNN. You heard of CNN? It must be, if it's on CNN, it must be right. That's a joke, by the way. So, in this report, it was the wife of a man who was about to be executed in America for killing another person. And she was telling the story. And she said, you know, we were just working people. And my husband won a lottery. And he won like $130 million. Now that's serious money. And so we stopped working. We got a big house. And etc., etc. And him. Now he's not working. He used to like drinking. So he would go out and drink. And he got into bad company. And he was drunk one night. In his bad company, he killed one of them. And now he's going to be executed. And she said, I wish we had not won that money. I wish we just remained working class. It wasn't a particularly good life, but, you know, life was going on. So, yeah, therefore the Lord says here, austerity and learning are certainly auspicious. But when acquired by a person who's not gentle, such austerity and learning are most dangerous. Most dangerous. These people with their intelligence, what do? They industrialize and destroy the planet and create global warming, create bombs. It's just, you know, yeah. Too much learning in the hands of just a low-class person creates chaos. Therefore, you should go immediately to Maharaj Ambarish. If you can satisfy him, then there'll be peace for you. So if we ever offend a devotee, or if a devotee ever, even if we didn't really do anything, but a devotee feels offended with us, sometimes it happens. Someone just thinks that you've done something wrong. You didn't do anything. So they develop an attitude towards you. So you might think, well, it's their problem. Not my problem, I didn't do anything. It's their problem. And, you know, it is their problem, certainly. But, even in such a situation, if a person just feels offended by you, It's always best to try to pacify them. Yeah, try and make peace and settle the situation. And not be just sort of, not conceited, but complacent and say, couldn't care. Let me close our whole program for this year on FLAG by telling you a story. This is a story from Bhakti Ratnakara. It's a very important historical Vaishnav, Gaudiya Vaishnav book. Tells one story about Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami one day was sitting in Vrindavan in meditation, meditating on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He was sitting there. His eyes were open, but his consciousness was withdrawn from the external world. So he's sitting there, but he's not seeing anything. His eyes are open, but he's not conscious of his surroundings. And in his meditation, what was it now? Srimati Radharani was being decorated by her gopi friends, but secretly, without Krishna seeing, they were hiding, because she wanted to really sort of get done up nicely and then come in front of Krishna and really move Krishna. But Krishna found out, and Krishna snuck up, he sneaked up from behind without her seeing. The other gopis, of course, they saw, but Krishna told them just, you know. So they acted like life is normal, it's okay. And Krishna came up behind Radharani. One girl was combing her hair and sort of doing things with her hair. Krishna took over. And now he's handling her hair, touching her hair. And she felt, because when Krishna touches, you feel. So she felt this amazing sensation, but she didn't know it was Krishna. She thought it was still this girl. And Rupa Goswami, in his meditation, he's in his position as Rupa Manjari, and he's there, he's involved in it all, decorating Radharani. And Radharani's there, Krishna's dealing with her hair. And Radharani is saying, oh, it's so nice what you're doing with my hair, and things like that. And then they finished. She picked up a mirror and looked in the mirror, and then she saw Krishna behind her. And everyone laughed. Everyone just laughed and laughed. And Rupa Manjari laughed. And Rupa Goswami, his body, sitting in meditation in Vrindavan, laughed. Although he was not externally conscious. But his body laughed. An elderly devotee with a kind of, you know, sort of you'd say physically challenged, slightly physically disabled, kind of struggling along the road with his old body. He was coming along, and he looked up and he saw, wow, there's Rupa Goswami. And it seemed Rupa Goswami was just looking at him. But he wasn't. He wasn't really looking anywhere. And Rupa Goswami is like he's staring at him. And then suddenly, Rupa Goswami laughed. And this old devotee thought, wow, Rupa Goswami, this great devotee, he's laughing at me. What have I done? I've done something. Oh no. And he became very disturbed because he thought that Rupa Goswami, you know, that he'd done something stupid, something offensive, something wrong, something silly. And so he went away. At that moment, Rupa Goswami's meditation broke. Suddenly, he just came back to external consciousness completely from the middle of that pastime. And he thought, oh, what happened? That never happened before. Oh, okay, let's not worry. I'll go back into the meditation. So he tried. He couldn't enter the meditation again. And he thought, well, something happened. Something has happened here. I'm not able to enter meditation again. Something has gone wrong. What to do? So now that elderly devotee, he's trying to understand, what have I done? What is wrong? So what he did, he went to Sanatan Goswami, who was nearby somewhere. And then he explained the situation and asked Sanatan Goswami, who's like very elderly Vaishnava, what have I done? What can I do? At that moment, who should come but Rupa Goswami? And Rupa Goswami told Sanatan Goswami, you know, something has gone wrong. I was in meditation as usual. My meditation broke. I can't go back into it. What has happened? And Sanatan Goswami understood. Because the elderly devotee had explained, you know, there was Rupa Goswami looking at me. Then he laughed at me. Sanatan Goswami understood. So he reunited the two of them. And you know what they say? They all lived happily ever after. Yeah. By the mercy of Sanatan Goswami. So the point is made there. It's a whole, quite a long narration. The point is made at the end that even if a devotee feels offended by us, but we actually have not offended, we actually didn't offend, but still we should pacify them. Still we should pacify them. Otherwise, it may have some subtle effect on our Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gopinanandi. Okay, devotees. Say to.